ॐ हरि ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्परा श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यम् करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। As part of Karma Yoga, I also wanted to cover another topic, Bhakti. Even though it is not specifically mentioned in this Bhashyamada verse, because the Agnihotra Karma is mentioned here. So Agnihotram is a Nitya Karma, which is a Vedic form of daily worship. And the substitute of performing a Vedic ritual is lighting a lamp, offering namaskaram, even worshipping a murti is worship. So worship is an expression of one's devotion to the Lord. Praying to the Lord is again expression of faith in invoking the grace of the Lord. But these are all actions. When you light the lamp, clean the altar, clean the place, cook prasad, offer here, you sing bhajans, chant stotras or mantras. So all these are also actions. The bhakti also is expressed in the form of an action. I go to temple or pilgrimage or even perform rituals, other rituals, fire rituals, do abhishekam for the murtis. Either you worship here or you go to temple, Pandurga temple or Krishna temple. So going there, walking is action. Standing there is an action. Lighting the lamp is an action. Chanting mantras is an action. Reciting stotra is an action. Singing in praise of the Lord, bhajans, is an action. Even if you sit there, closing your eyes, meditate on, suppose, Bhagavan's form, or a mantra, or Om Namah Shivaya, or Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya, if you chant, when you meditate, even manasa japa, if you do, it is, in meditation also is what? Mental activity. Meditation is also mental activity. So whether it is a mental activity or oral activity or physical activity, so bhakti is expressed in the form of an action. Even this act of worshipping involving many units of actions such as cooking prasad, offering prasad, lighting the lamp, singing bhajans, doing namaskaram or falling flat in front of Bhagavan, all these actions are also punya karma. They produce punyam. It becomes, it's a discipline also, but they become yoga. All these units of actions which constitute one act of worship, worshipping the Lord, become yoga, a preparatory discipline, only when it is done with the proper attitude of offering it as an offering to Bhagavan, ultimately for jnana. Even expression of devotion in the form of oral, physical, mental activity becomes a mere punya karma, a binding punya karma, not a liberating yoga. If without purushartha is, if there is no purushartha nischaya, it is a commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, if there is no proper attitude. Okay. So bhaktihi, that is why bhaktihi, devotion, is not a separate path leading to jnanam or moksha. Bhaktihi is a common element. Both a sannyasi and a karmayogi have. A karmayogi has bhaktihi. A sannyasi who is given to the pursuit of jnana, jnana yoga, also has bhakti. Both of them have bhakti. And both their bhakti is real bhakti. Sannyasi's bhakti is real devotion, real bhakti. A karma yogi's devotion is a real devotion, bhakti. And what makes the devotion real? It is the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge. Attaining knowledge of the reality as the ultimate goal when they live. Jnanam eva parayanam. Attainment of knowledge of the truth is attainment of knowledge of Bhagavan. Therefore, it is the ultimate goal for them. There is nothing which is greater than attainment of knowledge for them. Because both of them are committed to the pursuit of knowledge. A karma yogi is also committed to the pursuit of knowledge. A sannyasi is also committed to the pursuit of knowledge. Ultimate goal is the same for both of them. So it is the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge is real devotion. Because both of them are desperate to know. I want to know who Bhagavan is. What Bhagavan is actually, essentially. That not desire to know who Bhagavan is, who the Lord is. I have been worshipping the Lord, praying to the Lord. I have been seeking the grace of Bhagavan. Now, along with my efforts for success in all my endeavors. But who is this Bhagavan I have been worshipping for? Who is this Bhagavan I have been praying to? What is this actually? What is the truth of Bhagavan? Those, the thinkers who want to know who Bhagavan is, such a thinker alone becomes a karma yogi or a sannyasi, in fact. Therefore, that desire to know Bhagavan is called jignyasa, and the one who has that desire to know is called jignyasuhu. So, karma yogi is a jignyasu bhaktaha. A sannyasi is also a jignyasu bhaktaha. Therefore, their devotion is real devotion. A karma yogi is a real bhaktaha. A sannyasi is a real bhaktaha. Even though lifestyles are different, but both of them are real devotees. When both these people, a sannyasi, as a vividisha sannyasi, when being given to the pursuit to the knowledge, being given to the discipline of studying Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, in due course of time, when he becomes when he attains jnanam, jnanam, later on, but if the constant contemplation, when he also attains jnana nishtha, the steadfast vision, the steadfast vision of the truth, when he remains in steadfast vision of the truth, as a wise person, he is a jnani bhaktaha, and he is the exalted of among the devotees. So also, a vidvat sannyasi also attains jnana nishtha, he becomes an exalted devotee. Visha sannyasi also eventually attaining jnana nishtha becomes vidvan, it becomes jnani, therefore he becomes exalted devotee. So karma yogi also, who is a real devotee? A real devotee alone can become the exalted among the devotees. When he becomes a jnani, a karma yogi cannot fail. Yesterday the question was asked, what happens to a karma yogi? He lives a life karma yoga. He may become qualified for jnanam in his very janma. He may attain jnanam here itself. Even if he or she fails to attain jnanam in his janma, all the efforts they put in living a life of karma yoga will not go waste. Definitely, they would have earned a lot of punyam and they will be born again. No? So, they'll pick up the thread where they left, they attain jnanam, they'll attain moksha. So, karma yogi also eventually will become a jnani later on. He'll become qualified for jnanam, then definitely he'll attain jnanam, he'll also have jnana nishtha. Thereby, as a jnani bhakta, he will also become the exalted devotee. Because jnani is not separate from Bhagavan. He becomes Bhagavan himself. Krishna says in Gita, jnani to atmeva me matam. Therefore, bhakti is a common element for both sannyasi and the karma yogi. A person can become a karma yogi only when he becomes committed to the pursuit of knowledge of the truth of Bhagavan. Even a sannyasi is a real devotee because he is committed to the pursuit of knowledge. Therefore, bhakti is not a separate path. In fact, living a life of karma yoga is living a life of bhakti yoga. Okay? But living the life of karma yoga means you are a real devotee. You have devotion. Bhagavan, there is never a time Bhagavan is not away from your life, away from you. Okay? That's what I want to say. Okay. And a karma yogi is also not only a sannyasi, is a detached person. Karma yogi also has detachment towards the results of actions. What does it mean by saying being detached? Not being attached or being detached means not being dependent. It's very important. I already told you yesterday very clearly, not expecting the results is not detachment. In fact, without expecting the result, no action can be performed. Always all actions are performed with a purpose, definitely expecting the result. I told yesterday how to perform, but with the preparedness to accept anything as any result as prasad. Karma yogi performs actions. He knows results will definitely come. He is already prepared to accept the result with sameness of mind because it is prasadam from Bhagavan. At the same time, even though karma yogi wants the result, he is not dependent on the result for his happiness or security. So not being dependent on result of action for happiness or security is not being attached to the result of action. Because he knows very well already happiness is only in knowing the truth, knowing the Atma. Because Atma is the source of happiness. It is all pervasive, absolute, only secondless, non-dual reality is the only source of happiness. Reality is of the nature of limitlessness, happiness. Unless and until I discover the reality obtaining as my own self, there is no way of discovering happiness. And without having discovered the happiness, there is no way of being happy. Always. Therefore, he knows where happiness is. What is it which can give him happiness? Therefore, he doesn't waste his time in searching for happiness in results of actions. He wants the results for living his life. I want food to appease my hunger, not for happiness. To live my life. Understand? I want water to quench my thirst, to live my life. But I am living my life for discovering happiness. So he is very clear what is for what. Therefore he is not dependent on results of actions for his happiness and security. Therefore he is not attached to results of actions. Okay? Not being dependent is not being attached. Is it clear? These are all small points. I want to make it clear from yesterday. Now we are going on to the next topic, and the same based on the same teaching, Karma Yoga. See, many people have this question. We have heard the teaching. It is made very clear that knowledge alone is enough for moksha. That's why in the very beginning I gave the example. When you mistake the rope for a snake because of your ignorance of what is his rope, the perception of snake causes fear in you. And you make all efforts to get rid of the fear, because fear causes discomfort. Fear is not desirable. Why it is not desirable? It is an unpleasant experience, because fear causes discomfort, mental discomfort. That's why it's a disease. Fear is a mental disease. And you want to be comfortable. You don't want to suffer the discomfort. So you want to get rid of the discomfort caused by this phenomenon called a fear. No, it caused a fear of death, seeing the snake. And when you want to get rid of the fear, or freedom from fear, all that you need is only knowledge that what is not the snake, what is rope. Isn't it? Jnanam alone is required, nothing else. To get rid of the fear, for removal of fear, you need to know what is his robe. If you know what is his robe, in the jnanam, snake will dissolve. Along with the snake, snake caused fear also to dissolve. Similarly here, what Vedanta teaches is, see, when you want to be free yourself from the bondage of karma, when we want to free ourselves from limitations, the suffering, the misery that we go through in this life of paths of opposites in life of transmigration, Shastra says, the whole misery is because of the erroneous perception. But error has to be corrected, for which you need only jnanam. Jnanadeva kaivalyam, jnanameva alam. Enough, knowledge is enough to free yourself from bondage of karma, to free yourself from samsara. Jnanam alone is enough, because the whole problem is caused by ignorance. When it is said, sometimes we are not satisfied. We want to attain Atma Jnanam. After attaining Jnanam, we also want to do something else. Should I meditate after Jnanam? After Jnana Nishtha, no necessary. You will always be in Dhyanam. You'll always be in meditation. You need not do meditation after the Jnana Nishtha. Understand? You need not meditate, practice meditation after Jnanam. You will always be in meditation. You will never lose sight of the truth cognitively, isn't it? So then you need not do any, you will do karma just to live your life. You will be involved in activities just to live your life, that's all. But you will not be doing karma for the purpose, for getting some results to fulfill your desires and to enjoy the pleasure. You will not be interested in anything. Naturally, all your desires would have been resolved. Until the last breath, to exhaust the parabdha, you will be alive doing things for the well-being of the society. That's all. Even that also, not with the desire, just by mere, naturally you will be living your life. There is no need for karma. But some people have this problem. For moksha, should they pursue jnanam? Should they also do karma? Understand? Of course, karma has to be performed. That's why whole karma yoga is taught. One has to live a life of karma yoga. Living a life of karma yoga means what? Living one's life, doing all karmas, nitya karma, naimittika karma, doing. We're very busy, active, doing all karmas, but with proper attitude. That is only for preparing your mind for jnanam. It's only for having antakarna shuddhi and antakarna naischaryam, not for jnanam. What is for what must be very clear. But for moksha, jnanam alone is enough. You need only jnanam, not karma. You need not combine jnanam and karma. Karma is important, must, for antakarna shuddhi naischalya. But study of the shravanam mananam nidhyasanam are important for attainment of jnanam. Isn't it? So what is for what must be very clear. Jnanam alone is enough for moksha. But some people are not very happy. They want to combine. They say, to attain moksha, we need jnanam along with karma. Such people who emphasize that we should combine jnanam and karma, they are called jnana karma samuchaya vadinaha. Jnana karma samuchaya vadinaha. I repeated so many times, Okay, for you to be clear, because this must be clear right now. This should not be forgotten again. You don't need to go back and analyze afterwards. Jnana Karma Samuchayavadi. Singular. Plural Samuchayavadinaha. People who argue that synthesis of karma and jnanam is the means of attaining moksha. When we say jnanam alone is enough for moksha, knowledge is the only means for moksha, we definitely do not undermine, undervalue karma. We definitely know the importance and value of karma. At the same time, for moksha, it only jnanam, not karma. But there are people, even in Vedic period, always there are jnana karma samuchaya vadinaha. So here, Shankara Bhagavad Pada, after he finished his commentary on the mantra, he presents the objection raised by a Purva Pakshi, an opponent, the objector. And who was this Purva Pakshi here? Jnana Karma Samuchaya Vadi. The one who wants to synthesize karma and jnanam as a means of attaining moksha. Okay, let us read now. Katham, read now. Katham punaha idam avagamyate. He's asking, how is it then understood? Upanishad has presented two verses. Number first verse, second verse. The first verse Upanishad has discussed Jnana Yogaha, Nivritti Margaha, how wise person as through renunciation, by renunciation through knowledge, has to have Jnana Nishta, thereby has to protect himself. So Vidisha Sanyasi also has to protect himself by, you know, attaining Jnanam. Suppose a person who is not qualified for, then the second verse discusses karma yoga, how one must perform karma, one should live his life performing karma, not simply sitting lazy and idle. He must perform karma with proper attitude. So second verse emphasizes performance of karma, karma yoga. The first verse emphasizes renunciation of karma, renunciation. So Nivritti Margaha, Pravritti Margaha, Jnana Yogaha, Karma Yogaha are discussed in first two verses. But his understanding is, but Shankara Bhagavad Pada in his commentary made it very clear, these two are, Karma Yogaha and Jnana Yogaha are two different topics prescribed for two different adhikaris. Pravritti Margaha is for a different adhikari, a person of different, person who is differently qualified. Karma Yoga is also a discipline prescribed for another person who is otherwise qualified, who was yet to become qualified. Isn't it? So for the qualified Jnana Yogaha, for the unqualified Karma Yogaha, to become qualified. So Karma Yogi is not looked down upon as something anybody inferior, for he also can become qualified. A Jnana, the person, a sannyasi who is given to the discipline of Jnana Yoga also must have been a Karma Yogi before, thereby he must have become qualified. The Karma Yogi who has yet to become qualified, for him Karma Yoga has been prescribed. So this it is not mentioned in the Upanishad. Upanishad only talks about Jnana Yoga, then Karma Yoga. Upanishad does not say for whom it is prescribed. Okay. But Shankara Bhagavatpada in his commentary made it very clear that two different subject matters meant for two different adhikaris to attain two different ends. What is the end accomplishable as a result of living a life karma yoga? Mental preparation. Antakarna shuddhi, antakarna naishchalyam. Sadhana chatushtaya sampatti. Shamaha, damaha, uparamaha, titiksha, etc. Whereas, by going through a discipline of jnana yoga, a person is supposed to attain jnanam. Isn't it? So the ends accomplished by going through disciplines also are different. Adhikari is different. Subject matter is different. In fact, Anubandha Chatushtayam itself is different. So Shankara Bhagavatpada made it very clear in his commentary. So Purva Pakshi comes and asks, Katham Punaha Idam Avagamyate? Katham Avagamyate? How is it understood? What is it? What is understood? He says, Purvena Sanyasinaha Jnananishtha Utta. Purvena, by the first verse, Purvaha Shlokaha, Purvaha Mantraha, the first mantra. So, by the first mantra, or Sanyasinaha Jnananishtha Utta. So, commitment to the pursuit of knowledge has been prescribed for a sannyasi. Isn't it? Then, dvitiyena, by second mantra, ashaktasya karmanishtha iti. For the one who is unqualified, who is incapable of understanding the truth, for him, karmanishtha, you know, lifestyle, Karma Yoga has been prescribed. Upta means prescribed. How is that? How is it understood that these two disciplines are prescribed for people of two different qualifications, two different levels? How is it understood? Why can't we take it that way? That one must pursue jnanam along with the performance of karma. Why can't we take it that way? Because Upanishad doesn't say that. Only Shankaracharya, in his commentary, he differentiates it. Okay. How is it understood? Why should we not take it that way? One has to pursue jnanam. One has to go through the discipline of Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. One has to attain Jnanam. And one has to also perform Nitya Karma, Naimittika Karma. Why can't we say everything must be combined? One must perform Nitya Karma, one must perform Naimittika Karma, one must also study Upanishad, one must attain Jnanam. Okay, Shravanam, must do Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, and attain Jnanam also ultimately for moksha. Why can't we combine it? Why should we not say both disciplines must be followed simultaneously? That is his answer question. Why should we not say that both disciplines must be simultaneously by an individual? What is the answer? Both cannot be followed simultaneously. Both cannot be combined. What is the answer? Both must be followed, but not simultaneously, but sequentially. Both disciplines, Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga, must be followed by every individual ultimately for jnanam, which itself is moksha. But they must be followed sequentially, not simultaneously. Okay? Sama samuchayaha means simultaneously following. Okay? Combining them simultaneously is called simultaneous combination of karma and jnanam is called sama samuchayaha. Shankara Bhagavatpada says it is not possible. But sequential combination is possible. This is krama samuchayaha. Be careful. Oh, what's the name? Krama samuchayaha. Krama, it's okay, not necessary. Krama samuchayaha means what? Sequentially following. Sama samuchayaha means simultaneously following. Okay? So simultaneously they cannot be followed. But they must be followed sequentially. Krama samuchayaha is possible. Sama samuchayaha is not possible. So karma yoga must be followed first to become mentally pure and steady, adequately prepared, then jnana yoga should be followed for knowledge. This is the order. So here, that's what the question is asked. How is it understood that these two disciplines are prescribed for two different people, not for the same person? Okay? He wants us, no. Uchyate. Read the Bhashyam now. Uchyate. Come on, it is said now. You are answered. Listen, Shankara Bhagavatpada says. Jnana karmanoho virodham parvatavat akampyam. You know one thing? This opposition, enmity, contradiction between jnanam and karma is unshakably strong like a mountain. Parvatavat akampyam. Kampyam means shakeable. Akampyam, unshakable. Okay. Contradiction, difference between jnanam and karma is akampyam, is unshakable. Like mountain, parvatavata akampyam. Yatha uktam, as said already, nas marasi kim. Don't you remember? He's addressing Puru Pakshi. Don't you remember? The very beginning, Avatarika Bhashyam itself, in Avatarika Bhashyam itself, it has been made very clear. Difference has been made very clear. What is for what? Isn't it? So, even if we take our ends, Artha Kama Dharmas, which end is important, which end is not important? All the ends are important. Artha is important, Kama is important, Dharma is very, very, very important. Of course, jnanam is the most important. What is important? What is unimportant? Nothing is unimportant. But all the ends must be understood very clearly. Artha, kama, dharmas are relative ends. Moksha is the absolute end. So, artha, kama, dharmas have to be pursued for living this life. But life is lived not for pursuing artha kama dharmas. Life is lived ultimately for discovering moksha. Okay? This must be, what is for what must be clear. So if life itself is lived for artha kama dharmas, then ends, means become the end. Relative ends are the means. Isn't it? So what is for what must be very clear. So he says, Yatha Uktam Na Smarasi Kim. And if he quickly quotes all the mantras, okay, we'll read this soon. Ihab Yuktam
Ihab Yuktam
Yohi
Yohi
Jiji Vishet
Jiji Vishet
Sa Karma Kurvan
Sa Karma Kurvan
ईशावास्यमिदं सर्वम्
ईशावास्यमिदं सर्वम्
तेन त्यक्तेन भुञ्जीताः
तेन त्यक्तेन भुञ्जीताः
मा गृध कस्य शुद्धनम् इति च. He says, what is this question asked for? You know, the very first, the meaning of these two mantras themselves make it very clear. The first mantra, it is said, the second mantra, it is said, one must live one's life performing karma. Whereas in first mantra, one must renounce. One must, what is jagat? Namarupa karma kim jagat, one must renounce. Renounce means one must falsify, negate it. So all kriyas, all actions, all the accessories, all the results of actions, all of them only jagat. What is this universe? The universe is nothing but accessories required for performing rituals, performing actions, then actions and their results. Another way of looking at the universe. What is jagat? I am repeating it. Kriya karaka phala rupam jagat, phalam lakshanam jagat. Kriya karaka phala lakshanam jagat. This universe is nothing but sixfold accessories required for performing action. Then action and its result. Or you can put it plural also. Accessories, actions and the results, these alone constitute the universe. And this universe has to be resolved as mithya in the vision of the truth. This is said in the first verse. Second verse, one must perform karma. So for a sannyasi, karma, for a jnani, karma is not real. Jnani is supposed to look at the karma, understand the fact of karma being not real, mithya, that way he has to resolve it. Whereas an ajnani, a karma yogi, is insisted he must perform karma. If karma is not real for him, how can he perform karma? Okay? So for karma yogi, karma is shown as something very real. He must perform karma. Look at this. What a difference between jnanam and karma. In jnanam, karma is resolved, negated as nitya. In karma yoga, karma is emphasized. Karma yogi is insisted to perform karma. This difference. And the second thing, tena tyaktena bhunjitaha. Protect yourself by renouncing, giving up through sannyasa. Whereas a karma yogi is insisted to perform action, get the results, and he says, just enjoy results. Not for renouncing. And then mahridaha kashasvidhanam. Sannyasi is told not to covet anybody else's or his own wealth. Whereas a karma yogi must be told to have wealth. If money, without money, nothing can be done. Living a household life involves money. Having children, rearing children, you know, involves money. Even performance of rituals, you need, even for performing ritual, one needs money. To give dakshina, one needs money. To buy ingredients, you need money. So in karma, money is important, wealth is important. It can't be given up. Therefore, even the difference in the meaning of the mantras makes it very clear that jnanam and karma are two different disciplines prescribed for people of two different levels for their well-being, for their wellness. Okay. So here, Shankar Bhagavatpada always likes to present his arguments, you know, with all the logical support. He presents reasoning. But here, he only uses Shruti Pramanam. He only quotes Shruti. He doesn't give any logical reasoning here. Okay, later on, he is going to take care of it. Okay? Now, time being, he wants to take it easy. When you go to the 8th, 9th verse and towards the end also, he will come out with his logical reasoning. Okay? The reasoning, Yukti Pramanam, he will present there. Now he only presents Shruti Pramanam. Only he quotes only Shruti mantras to state, no, karma and jnanam are two different disciplines prescribed for two different individuals. But every individual has to go through both disciplines sequentially. See the next one now. Na jivite maraneva vridhim kurvita aranyamiyat iticha padam tato na punaryat tato na punaryat iti sanyasa shasanat. Those who are reading the Bhashyam, please note sanyasa shasanat, the sha is missing. So this is another mantra. Na jivite marane, na jivite onwards, na punaryat, until then another mantra from another shruti, another Veda mantra. But where is it quoted from, which is not known, because Shankar Bhagavatpada presents many quotations from Shruti, and which these many Shrutis have become extinct. We are lost. So we cannot say exactly where these Shruti quotations are. Why we have lost them? God only has to be. We don't know. But it's a Shruti quotation. We don't know where has it been taken from. Okay, that is not mentioned. So what it says, a sannyasi, this mantra talks about the sannyasi, a rule laid for a sannyasi, sannyasa shasanam. According to the shastram, jivite maraneva na gridhim kurvita, a person who has become a sannyasi, who is given to life of sannyasa, need not, should not have desire for living or desire for death also. He must be open. Life is there, I am living. Life is not there, I am prepared to go. That preparedness must be there. Or he should not be saying, I want to live long. Sannyasi must live keeping his mind open. Okay, life, whatever life Bhagavan has ordained, I'll live my life and go. There's no craving for living long. At the same time, sannyasi should not also say, I want to die soon. Why should I be living here? There's no need for him to have desire for death also. Sannyasi should not say, many old people say, why am I sitting here? Bhagavan is not taking my life away. They all complain. Okay, a sannyasi should never say, I want to die. I am prepared to die, he can say. I want to die, he cannot say. A sannyasi cannot have, should not have desire for life or for death. Okay, he must be open. Na jivite maraneva gridhim kurvita. Then what should he do? Aranyam yat. See, sannyasi, not the one who is simply wearing saffron robes. The person who has that bent, mental disposition. A person who knows there's no death for Atma, I'm Atma, I have to discover that Atma, I have to ascertain my Swarupam. That is where my peace is, my happiness is, that is where my security is. Jnanam is the only protection, Jnanam is the only me, such a person, he will not be scared of anything. He will not feel insecure. So he, Aranyam, Yad, Shastram says, he must go to forest, jungle. It is not, it's only Upalakshanam, not that we, everybody should go to jungle. It is only a statement to say he must be prepared to live anywhere. Aranyam, Yad, he must go to forest. Na Punaryat, let him not come back, be that self. Going to the jungle, again I want to go back. What sannyasa is there? Therefore, na punariyat. This is what are given, some Shruti talks about the sannyasi. Okay, sannyasa, life. Sannyasa, shasanam. Therefore, whereas, what about the karma yogi? What about the karma yogi? He is a householder, grihastaha. He should not go to jungle. He should not go to any ashrams. He should live at home, doing his duties, looking after his family. Isn't it? Contributing for the society's well-being also. Therefore, completely different lifestyles. This difference in lifestyle, the difference in their pursuits, the difference in their mental disposition, okay, of a sannyasi and a karma yogi. Therefore, they are two different disciplines meant for people of two different mental dispositions. So, they cannot be combined. They cannot be followed simultaneously. They must be followed sequentially. Now she says, not only that, between karma and jnanam, there is also difference in terms of result. Ubhayoho phalabedancha vakshyati. Ubhayoho, read it now, ubhayoho phalabedancha vakshyati. So, between these two, there is difference in result also. We know very well, karma yoga can give you what? Living a life, karma yoga can only bless you with purity and steadiness. It will not remove your ignorance. Living a life, karma yoga will not remove your ignorance at all. It will only help you have mental preparedness required for jnanam. For jnanam, one must go through jnana yoga in terms of doing shravanam, mananam, nidhyasanam. Shravanam alone will remove the ignorance. And mananam will help you resolve the doubts in your knowledge. And Nidhyasanam will help you assimilate what you have understood clearly. So, Jnana Nishtha will come after Nidhyasanam. That which is Mokshaha. There were result of two disciplines. Result that can be accomplished by following the two disciplines, all is what? Different results. Therefore, they cannot be combined. Okay, read next one. Imau. So Shankara Bhagavatpada presents many quotations to state. See, Veda itself says this, that these two disciplines cannot be combined. Simultaneously, they cannot be followed. But Veda itself prescribes both these disciplines, not for combining them, but for following them sequentially. Okay. इमौ द्वावेव पन्थानौ अनुनिष्क्रान्ततरौ भवतः. सो इमौ द्वौ एव पन्थानौ, द्वौ एव पन्थानौ, दीस् आर् दि टू पास्. दिस् टू पास् दर् ओन्ली दीस् टू पास् इमौ दीस् द्वौ एव पन्थानौ, दीस् आर् टू पास्. There is no third path, there is no fourth path, there is no fifth path. There are only two paths. Look at this, very clear. What else you want? There are not four paths, five paths, three paths. There are only two paths. Dvau eva panthanau anunishkrantatarau bhavataha means originated. Only two paths have originated. When it has been there timelessly, these two shastra, Veda shastram is a timeless shastram, timeless scripture. Veda is a timeless scripture. It is not a product of any human intellect. It is not written by somebody on a particular date. The whole Veda is a timeless scripture, and the Veda enjoined disciplines also have been timelessly there. Every time the universe becomes unmanifest, Veda Shastram also becomes unmanifest. Every time the creation becomes manifest, universe becomes manifest, again Veda becomes manifest. From the time, from the beginning of the creation, the manifestation, and this, the two paths also have been what now? Originated. Okay? They have been always there. So, anunishkantataro bhavataha do eva panthanu. These two paths, two disciplines, two lifestyles have been there for a long time. Okay, from time immemorial, they originated from the very beginning itself. And kriya pathascha eva purastat sanyasaha cha uttarena. Very clear. Kriyapataha purastat. Karma yogaha. The path of karma. Kriyapataha means the path of karma. The path of karma. The discipline of karma. The discipline of action. The discipline of karma yoga. Living a life of karma yogaha. Pravritti margaha has to be followed first, purastat first. Thereby one has to become qualified, prepared. One has to have adequate emotional maturity and intellectual sharpness, emotional stability. Then sannyasaha cha uttarena. Thereafter, as a mature individual, one can take to a life of sannyasa. One can be given to the discipline of jnana yoga. Is it clear? So what it is said here, what has been made very clear? Whether we externally become sannyasis or not, externally where we wear saffron robes or not, every individual is expected to grow, mature, become mature emotionally. Becoming emotionally mature is what? Going through sannyasa mentally. Okay? Because taking to a life of sannyasa does not simply mean simply wearing saffron robes. Okay, of course, saffron robes is given in a culture. We wear saffron robes in our culture just to distinguish, also to remind ourselves of our commitment to the pursuit of knowledge. So society also will know. Social norm. Otherwise, every individual is supposed to grow emotionally. Emotional maturity is important. So we begin our life as an immature individual. Then gradually you become relatively mature. So become from being immature, raw-headed, we become gradually relatively mature. How? By living a life of karma yoga, by going through the path of action, kriyapataha, by following kriyapataha. Once you become relatively mature, then by going through another discipline of jnana yoga, you become absolutely mature. That's why an absolutely mature individual, a totally mature individual is vice versa. Every individual is expected to become totally mature person. From being immature, you become mature, more mature, the most mature. That's why two lifestyles. So it is said here, so sannyasaha cha uttarena. So nivritti margena yeshanatrayasya tyagaha. So nivritti margaha, nivritti margena, by taking to a discipline, by being given to the discipline of jnana yogaha, by taking to the path of renunciation or knowledge, the renunciation of desire for threefold things, yeshanatraya tyaga. So putreshana, vitteshana, lokeshana, that tyaga, renunciation of desire for threefold things is emphasized. Whereas in path of karma, we perform ritual, putrakama tyaga is performed for progeny. As a householder, for the perpetuation of dharma, we need a progeny. For progeny, marriage is also recommended. And we also want to perform putra kameshti yagaha. See, sannyasi is told to give up desire for progeny. A karma yogi, a person who is in path of karma, is asked to perform putra kameshti yaga for progeny. How can these two paths be combined? Perform ritual for our progeny and give up desire for progeny. Is it possible for a person to follow both this simultaneously? Give up desire for wealth, earn lot of money. You have to cover sannyasis also. Very obvious, very clear. Okay, and Shankaracharya always loves sannyasa a lot, okay? And his tayoho sannyasa patha, sannyasa patha,
sannyasa patha,
yeva
atirechayati.
Of course, both paths are important. Path of karma, path of jnanam, both are important. Pravritti marga, nivritti marga, both are important. Both have to be followed by every individual sequentially, not simultaneously. They cannot be combined because their difference is like what now? Unshakably huge, like the mountain. We already said, we saw that. But of these two paths, sannyasaha excels. You know why? Sannyasaha excels means what? Knowledge is superior to karma. Why? Because knowledge alone liberates. Immediately we feel very bad. We work very hard. So much we have been learning to do. Is karma waste of time? No. If you to understand karma is superior to jnanam is superior to karma, you must do karma. Isn't it? That superior jnanam. Why jnanam is superior? Because jnanam alone will liberate you, free you from bondage. Karma cannot free you, liberate you from bondage. Karma binds you, jnanam liberates you. At the same time, karma performed with the proper attitude in conformity with dharma for mental preparation, then karma, as yoga, karma yoga liberates you. Karma yoga will liberate you. How? By preparing you for jnanam. Is it clear? Therefore, it is said, nyasayeva atyare chayat iti taittiriyake. This quotation is from Mahanarayana Upanishad, a part of Taittiriya Upanishad. Taittiriya Upanishad has four chapters. Only three are known as Taittiriya Upanishad. The fourth chapter is taken as Mahanarayana Upanishad. This quotation is from there. Okay, now Dvavimavata Panthano Yatra Vedah Pratishthita, Yatra Vedah Pratishthita, Pravrutti Lakshano Dharma Nivruttischa Vibhavitaha. This is a verse because it's anushtup, so you can chant. Chant like this. Veda mantra, we have to be very careful. What is this swara? This is a shlokam from Mahabharata, so I could chant it easily. In Mahabharatam, there's a portion called Moksha Dharma. It is Shanti Parva. Okay? It's a Mahabharata verse. Of course, we all know Mahabharatam, Vyasacharya is the author. So there also Vyasacharya makes it very clear. Dvau imau athapanthano. Shankaracharya will never leave anything easily. One doubt, he comes with one doubt. How is it said? Katam avagamyate punaha. How is it said that these two parts are meant for two different people? Why can't they be combined? It's one question. Now he quotes from different places. From Taittirika he quotes from Vaishavasya Upanishad itself, he quotes from some other Shruti, we don't know where the source is, and he quotes also from Mahabharata. Come on, four quotations. Enough? Want more? What is the proof to say, to state, karma and jnanam cannot be combined at all? Whenever this fact is really hammered, they cannot be combined. Please understand, karma is not underestimated. We have to give due value. Without karma, jnana will be impossible. Okay? But karma without jnana will be incomplete. Okay. He says, Dvau imau atha panthanau. Again, this quotation is from where? Mahabharatam. These two are two paths. Yatra vedaha pratishthitaha. Even our great source of knowledge, the treasures of knowledge, our Vedas, the only source book, Pramana Grantaha, the this great means of knowledge, pramana grantaha vedaha, treasures of knowledge. Even this way, all our Vedas, four Vedas, or Vedashastra itself is where, is there in these two parts. Vedashastram teaches these two parts. But Vedashastram surveys also what? In these two parts. What does it mean? People who live, who are given to the path of karma, they study karma kanda and the knowledge of karma kanda. The Veda Shastram, Veda in the form of knowledge is in the minds of karmis, people who karma kandis. Understand? Where is Veda? Veda is knowledge. Whether the karma kanda or jnana kanda, the whole textbook is jnanam. Where does knowledge live? Where is knowledge located? Where does knowledge exist? Knowledge is always in the form of thoughts in the minds. If a karmakandi, all poor mimamsakas have the Vedashastram in their heads. Where is Vedashastram? In the heads of poor mimamsaka. And where is Jnanakanda? In the heads of Uttar Mimamsakaha. And people who are given to discipline of Jnana Yoga. So people who are given to these twofold disciplines have Veda in their minds in the form of thoughts as knowledge. If these two people are not there, imagine, if we do not have people who are given to the discipline of karma, path of karma, what will happen? Vedashastram will become extinct. Karma kanda will become extinct, disappear. If people who are given to the discipline of Jnana Yoga are not there, what will happen? Jnana kanda will become extinct. If Veda Shastram should not become extinct, we should not lose Veda. Veda should be there always. Means, people who follow these two paths must be there. Isn't it? So, even though Veda teaches these two paths, for Veda to continue to be there continuously, Veda has to be available forever. Veda has to be there. Veda should not become extinct. For which people of these twofold disciplines, people who are given to the twofold paths, twofold disciplines, must be there. Okay? Which means there is difference. See, this Mahabharata verse of Vyasacharya itself is a proof for what? It proves. It's an authentic proof that these two disciplines are to be followed by people of two different mental disposition. They can be combined. And what are they? Pravrutti lakshanaha dharmaha nivruttischa vibhavitaha. So Vyasacharya quotes this verse. Dvau imo atha panthano yatra vedaha pratishthitaha pravrutti lakshanaha dharmaha nivruttischa. So nivruti lakshanaha dharmaha, pravrutti lakshanaha dharmaha, these two are two paths, path of karma and path of knowledge. Or discipline of jnana yoga and discipline of karma yoga, these two have been prescribed by the shastram. And the shastrams form the whole Veda shastram. And Veda itself is established in these two paths. Is it clear? Ityadi, etc. Okay? All these quotations taken from four different places. All of them. Now, he says, Vyasa also says this, where he said this, Putraya.
Putraya.
He taught this to his own son. Putraya. When a father teaches something to his son, Do you think he will teach carelessly? Shankaracharya's question that is. A father teaches son means he will 100% make sure what he tells his son is right thing. Because with so much of care, affection and warmth, my child should know the right thing. That must be the attitude of a dad, isn't it? So which father will teach wrong things to the father, child? It is a Vyasa. Vyasa is the father and he teaches his son means how will he teach? Putraya. It was taught by Vyasa to his son. Therefore, this is authentic information that these two paths cannot be combined. Next, Vicharya. See, now let me read it down. Ityadi. Putraya. Vicharya. Nischitam. Uktam. Vyasena. Vedacharyena. Bhagavata. It was said by whom? Not an ordinary person. Sakshat Vyasa. Okay? Vyasacharya, who has written commentary on Veda, who compared Vedas, by him it has been written. And who is this Vyasa? Not ordinary person. He is believed to be incarnation of Mahavishnu. Bhagavata Vyasena. And who is he? He is the compiler of Vedas, Vedacharya, one who has thorough understanding of Vedic teaching. And how did he say? It was not said carelessly, nischitam uktam. It was definitely said, no? Said. And how? Vicharya uktam. He has put in lot of thinking. He has analyzed thoroughly. After having analyzed thoroughly, it has been said by Vyasacharya. Vicharya uktam. That too, not to somebody else, to his own son. Putraya uktam. Therefore, it must be authentic information. Shankaracharya says, I have no doubt, I am 100% convinced, I am very clear, these two are two different disciplines prescribed for people of two different mental dispositions, ultimately for jnanam. They have to be followed by every individual sequentially, ultimately to accomplish the ultimate goal. But this has been made very clear even by Vyasacharya. For your understanding, I am presenting this quotation. Because you have some confusion. You want to combine. Okay? You want to combine and you want to make it. It's impossible to follow both disciplines simultaneously. But they must be followed sequentially. Clear? That's all the teaching. Vibhagancha anayoho darshayishyamaha. With this, second verse is over. We had to start the third verse. I want to tell you one thing. Vibhagancha anayoho darshayishyamaha. See, Vyasacharya quoted from four different. He quoted, first of all, Ishavasi mantras themselves. Then he quoted another Shruti mantra. No, we do not have the source. And he quoted Taittiriya Mahanarayana Upanishad mantra. He quoted Mahabharata verse. And he also made it very clear it was taught by Vyasa for his own son. Putraya Vicharya Bhagavata Vyasena Vedacharyena Uktam. Therefore it is authentic source of information that these two paths are different. They can't be combined. Having said this much, Shankaracharya is not still satisfied. Somebody comes and tells him, we want to combine karma and jnanam, and he thinks they're confused. So he wants to make sure, he wants to see that they are very clear. So he will go on and on and on. After any other opportunity you would have noticed. No, time being I stop this discussion. Vibhagancha anayoho darshayishyama. Later on we shall show you again how they cannot be combined. Time being he wants to leave this person. Upward, we are clear, aren't we? Are we clear? Now, next mantra begins. So, from third mantra onwards, I told you already, until the eighth mantra, six mantras or elaboration, commentary on the first mantra, which is a topic of Jnana Yoga. Okay, I'm not going to start now, but I'm just telling you, we'll come back and so at least the Karma Yoga topic, second verse, commentary on second verse is complete. Okay? Now, I wanted to know, until now, whatever we have studied, if you have any doubts in these two verses, whatever I have been talking to you, please come back with your doubts later on, because I was told that we are delaying you for lunch and all that. And I don't have intention of delaying you. I don't know. If you tell me, I'll stop. Okay? So, you all can go for your food. And what I say will come, the new verse will begin. And please feel free to ask me. I can come to satsang again if you want. I don't know what the programs are. Swamiji can tell me, and Swamis and people in charge here, they can instruct me accordingly. I can help you with. I'm very happy to answer your questions, clarify your doubts. Because teaching is anybody can come and talk and go. But I have to really, I see that you are clear now itself. Okay? Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om. May God bless all of you with the fulfillment of all your righteous wishes. Okay, 5 minutes. Ask a question.
Thank you. Is it correct to say the karma yogi has given up kamya karma?
Yeah.
But still considered on Prabhupada Marga and still has Aishanathaya, desire for Aishanathaya?
Yeah.
So that's some desire also, no?
No. You can have desires. Naturally, completely a karma yogi cannot be totally free from the hold of karma, desires. Even sannyasi cannot be free from the hold of disease. Even Vigita sannyasi also has disease. What it says, kami karma means for specific disease. Okay, for specific disease you cannot have disease, that's all.
So, but like many of these Vedic rituals are for getting sons or for getting wealth and so on. So, in Pramiti Marga, it's characterized in the Bhashya by desire for Aishanathaya.
The kama karma he gives up. But not, that doesn't mean, see, karma yogi is supposed to give up the desire for kama karmas. And then we are not compelled to give up karma, desire for kama karmas. He himself grows out of desire for kama karmas. One thing please remember, Veda Shastram never ever says give up desires. Shastram only tells us to have understanding. Once you have understanding, we ourselves grow out of desire for things. Once you know the limitations. When we were children, we were all playing with a lot of toys. We all liked the toys. Now how many of us are interested in toys? We have naturally grown out of desire for toys because toys cannot give what we want. That's all. Like the Karma Yogi also naturally grows out of, supposed to grow out of desire for things. Okay, naturally, as a result, expression of maturity. But still Karma Yogi has disease. He has not, still has to, lot of impurities are there.
So a Karma Yogi...
But Kamya Karmas, he himself will give up Kamya Karmas.
Over time.
But Nitya Karma he has.
Yes, yes. So if a karma yogi is on the path of preparing his mind and getting antakarana shuddhi, and for the purpose of eventually vidvat sannyasa, that karma yogi is still considered on pravritti marga until that jnana comes.
See, pravritti marga, nivritti marga means karma yoga, jnana yoga, two disciplines only. Okay, I'm going to talk about one more person. I'll come back and talk about a karmi.
Okay, thank you, Swamiji.
Okay, sarve kripaya bhojanartam gacchami.
Yes.
Samyak bhojanam kritva vishrantim swikritya sayankare agacchantu chaturvadane milamaha.
Thank you.